Hey everybody, it's Danny. I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Heartway podcast, and I want to give a special thanks to those of you who are tuning in from really all over the world. We're so grateful that you are a part of our community and that you listen in on an ongoing basis. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, I want to ask you to share this with a friend. You never know the impact that one of these messages can have in another person's life. And if you yourself have been impacted and you'd like to continue to partner with us to keep this work going, check us out at heartwaychurch.com/give. Every dollar that you give goes a really long way towards helping us do what it is that we do. Well, we love you. Really hope you enjoy the podcast.
Happy Sunday, everyone. I am so excited to be here with you all today to guide you into our centering prayer for today. I hope that you had a wonderful week. Excited that we are opening up soon. I cannot wait to see all of your beautiful faces. I want to get started by just getting you into a nice, comfortable seated position. Allow yourself to close the eyes gently, slowly allowing the palms to face up or down. And then gently begin to bring your awareness to your breath. Slowly begin to watch your breath, following the belly as it rises up. Breath travels towards the chest, shoulders go back, and then slowly begin to exhale, release. Again, slowly begin to inhale in, filling up the belly, allow that breath to rise up, and then slowly exhale. My friends, take a moment now to let go of anything that does not serve you. Release any limiting beliefs. Let go of those thoughts and doubts, the fears in our minds that are not real. Remove any illusions that you have in the mind and allow yourself to become present with your true self, the self that is created and connected at all times to God. Take this time now to bring your awareness back to the breath. Slowly, you follow the breath as you inhale in, slowly filling up the belly, allowing the breath to rise up, slowly sealing the lips. Exhale. Take another moment to settle in. Allow your body to become less tense. Unclench the jaw. Release any tightness that you may be feeling. And slowly welcome the body to open up. Allowing the spirit to receive God. Welcome now all of God's love, all of his energy, all of his beautiful love and abundance. I want you to think about when you inhale, as you're opening up space, you're creating space within yourself to allow God to enter. And as you exhale, you slowly settle down into his arms, settling down into his energy, into God's love, into God's protection. Slowly releasing anything else that may be weighing heavy on your heart. Take the opportunity now to let it all go. Allowing yourself to truly be present right now. Taking time to honor yourself for all that you do and all that you are. Know now that God sees past all the masks. God sees through all the sheets that are covering us, all of the distractions that we wear. God can see through us, and He sees us for who we truly are, for the beautiful love and light that we have within ourselves. God can see you for who you truly are, a beautiful child of God, filled with purpose, filled with intention, also with the same amount of power to create anything that you want, to manifest the life that you choose to live, to receive the abundance that you deserve, to live the life in peace, connected and aligned with God. Taking this moment now, allow yourself to sink in just a little bit deeper. Allow yourself to really feel God's presence within you. Allow this to give you peace. Allow it to fill you up with love. And allow it to give you strength to always continue forward, living life, spreading peace and love, caring for one another, seeing ourselves in each other, for we were all created by the same God. Slowly begin to deepen your breath, gently exhaling. Begin to wiggle fingers and toes, gently bringing awareness back into your body. Take this moment now to honor yourself, to know that you are loved, that you are important, that you are always cared for. My friends, gently blink open the eyes. May peace, love, and grace always be with you. Amen, and so much love. Happy Sunday, everyone.
Good morning, Heartway. It's so amazing to be able to be with you guys yet another day. Even though we're not here together in person, we will be very soon. And in the meantime, I hope you guys enjoy vibing with me today. This is not only a beautiful day, but this is a beautiful opportunity to get to talk to you guys about something that's very important. You know, when we think about how dynamic everything is in the world right now, it's very vital for us to understand that we need to have an approach to life. We need a methodology that can not only help us to be our best selves, but to feel our best and to allow us to adapt to whatever comes our way. And so it's important for us to analyze how we're approaching our lives, how we're approaching our day-to-day experience, and if there's a way that we can optimize that. You know, when we talk about our day-to-day experience, especially when we look at society as a whole, the way that we tend to engage the things around us in our activities is not exactly conducive to a state of relaxation or mindfulness or peace. I mean, we tend to be pretty frantic and stressed most of the time. I mean, we can look at the physicality of New York, for example. You know, it almost serves as a metaphor. We see people moving from place to place, the rustle and bustle of cars and subways and the cacophony of sounds of horns and all of these types of insane things. But that visual is almost like a metaphorical representation for what's going on with us internally, the mentality we have. I like to refer to it as the rat race mentality. You know, we've all heard that in relation to our jobs, the way that people try to climb up the corporate ladder, so to speak. We call it the rat race, but this is a mentality that bleeds into every area of our lives. And even though this is a phrase and not, you know, a literal word that you'll find in Webster's, I have developed kind of a definition for the rat race mentality. It's a way of being that is facilitated by constant aggressive action, constant stress, a frantic perspective. And ultimately, it's a mindset that says, I am more focused on what I am doing and how frequently I am doing things, as opposed to the quality with which I'm doing those things. I'm focused so much more on the action and much less on the being. And so I find myself caught up in the rat race. You know, but the thing is, even though there is this negative connotation that we tend to attribute to this concept, we continue to adorn it. We continue to approach life this way. But this rat race mentality is killing us. I mean, when we look at the research, it says that 70% of our lives on average are spent in a state of stress. It says that even though 95% of diseases are preventable through the management of our habits, thoughts, and emotions, even though that's the case, we see that we suffer the full range, the full spectrum of diseases worldwide to such a terrible degree. People are dying, people are suffering. You know, we see the fact that there is depression running rampant, there's suicide, so many people encountering suicidal ideations. We see the majority of individuals walking around with low self-esteem. And yet, the thing is, we see this among both poor people and wealthy people. We see this among people with families and people who don't. Regardless of whether you have scarcity or abundance on the physical level, we still see this type of suffering happening. And so the question becomes, why is it that we still utilize this approach to life, even though we see the negative manifestations, even though it feels terrible for us? And the answer is, we've been conditioned to have a false subconscious belief, which essentially says that we believe that the external manifestations, what's going on externally of us, the people we encounter, the things going on in the environment, whether or not we achieve certain things or things go in a way that we perceive to be positive, we believe that those external occurrences determine the quality of our internal state. And so what happens is we end up creating this unhealthy identification with what's going on outside of us, and we become shackled by the dynamic nature of the world, as opposed to sitting within the stability that we have in God's grace. And that is such a dangerous and painful thing. But if I were to simplify this even more, if I were to break this down and say, really, what is the heart of this false belief that causes us to live in a rat race mentality? It's saying something very simple. That I think that what is happening is outside of me is ultimately the controller. It's almost, you can think of it as the remote, that when a button is pressed, when, say, for example, something bad happens or something doesn't go my way externally, it's pressing a button in me and it has pure control of the way that I feel. That in order to feel the way I want to feel, I need to find the answer outside of myself. And that is the false belief that is killing us. I mean, really think about it. Why is it truly that we go around trying to acquire possessions? We go around trying to make things happen, find that soulmate, find that perfect situation that can be conducive to our happiness and well-being, quote unquote. Of course, there are many reasons on one level. Like, for example, we can say, oh, well, I want to rise up the corporate ranks in my career because I want to have more money for my family. I want to provide for my family. We can say, I want to do XYZ because I want to help people. All those things can be very much true, and I'm not taking those things away from us. But what I'm saying is, at the core of it, if we really search internally, the main reason that we become so frantic and obsessed of trying to acquire things and get things done and make everything happen in a way that looks perfect to us, it's because we believe that those things will give us a certain feeling. And we want that feeling. We want that perceived fulfillment. We want that perceived wholeness. I need this material world to control, to determine, to empower me to feel the way I want to feel. And we must learn the truth that if we become so identified with this external physical world and we think that that's what's going to give us peace and contentment and fulfillment, we're ultimately searching for fool's gold. You know, many of you who know me, who have heard me speak at Heartway before, you guys know I'm a bona fide nerd. And I love to look at how science, how God's beauty and God's genius manifests through the sciences, you know, in psychology and biology, things like that. And when we listen to Dr. Bruce Lipton, one of the pioneers of epigenetics, the pioneer of epigenetics, he talks about the fact that life is not a game of doing or achieving. Life is a game of brain chemistry. Because when it comes to how we feel, when it comes to the quality of our emotional state on a day-to-day, it's linked to particular neurochemicals. When it comes to feeling love and attachment, it's immensely linked to oxytocin. When it comes to talking about, you know, the feeling of being energized or that adrenaline rush and having natural painkillers in our body, that's endorphins. There's all these chemicals that are going around. And when we talk about motivation, the concept of being motivated to achieve and to acquire and to strive, the neurochemical that is conducive to the feeling and state of motivation is dopamine. But here's something that's really interesting. When we have that dopamine surge, that's what encourages us to go forward and get things done, to accomplish, to strive to meet that partner so that we can reproduce and have this beautiful family, or to strive to create that perfect situation in your life, to strive to have that huge bank account. The main factor in that, among other things, but the main factor in that is a surge of dopamine in our bodies. But here's what we don't realize. The high we get from that dopamine, we think, it trains us to think that when I get the thing I want, when I achieve it, that will be my moment of realization. That will be my moment of being optimized. That will be my moment of stepping into the truth and the peace and the greatness of what I can actually have in this world, and I can finally be happy. But what we don't realize is that research shows very clearly that dopamine drops immensely. Our levels of dopamine plunge immediately at the moment of achievement. At the moment when we feel like we've got that thing, at the moment where we feel like I finally got that person, I'm really gonna make my life happen now. Now is the time I can finally be happy. It's at that moment that the dopamine starts to surge downward already. And it's showing us something very simple, that this mindset is fool's gold. We will get trapped if we do not find the higher, or rather the deeper approach to living and being in this physical world as spiritual beings. So God asks us a divine question. He says, why do you think you need a middleman to access that which I have freely given you? This concept of needing things around us, it's almost like a middleman, you know? Like, I can't go directly to the supplier. I need to go to a Publix. I need to go to a warehouse or something. I need a middleman. And God is saying, why do you need a middleman for that which I have already provided for you, that is within you, that imbues your very being? Awaken to the truth of me. That's the question and the ideology that God is presenting to us. I want us to think about John 10 and 10, where it's talking about this concept of abundant life, where Christ says, he said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But notice, Christ did not say, Your soulmate has come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Christ did not say your dream job, your dream home has not come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. No, Christ is saying, I have come. But how is it that Christ has come to give us an abundant life? What is Christ's approach to that? And the way in which Christ did that and is doing that still and now is by serving as the paradigm of how we are to live. He's showing us the way. He's doing something that is even greater than healing the sick man. He's doing something even greater than turning water into wine. He's saying, I am going to transform you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to heal your mindset. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to change you by serving as the paradigm of how you should live. And so when you have a question about how it is that I should be in this moment, how can I access peace? How can I access the fullness? How can I access the spirit of power and love and goodness that God has given to me? Jesus said, look at how I walk. Look at how I walked. Look at how I lived. Look at how I acted. Look at how I spoke. If you take that and you analyze that, you will see the truth. That if you apply this in your life, if you live it, don't just talk it. That's the problem with so many of us, that we talk nice, we talk scripture, we talk action, but we don't walk it. And Christ didn't just talk, he walked. He walked. And if we apply that paradigm, it becomes so powerful. And that is something that we get to access. And let's do that right now. Let's look at what Jesus did. Let's look at how Jesus lived. He was not rat race focused. He didn't search for possessions and acceptance by others in order to acquire a sound, stable means of self-awareness. He didn't define his identity based upon the things around him. He didn't look outward to identify. He said, I already know who I am. I'm my Father's child. I know what I'm made of. I know that I am not a physical form living a spiritual experience. I am a spirit living a physical experience. So I am not everything around me that I see, that I am in this world, but I am not of it, that I transcend beyond all of this. And this gets me emotional because so many of us suffer. So many of us suffer from a moment-to-moment basis. I'm not kidding when I tell you guys that I spent so many years of my life depressed with suicidal ideations, suffering and wishing that I could die because of the fact that I was in a rat race mentality. And I'm standing here before you today, not honestly, because I could care less what you think of me. I really don't. I really don't care about messing up right now. I don't care about anything. I'm standing before you today because the approach to life that I get to experience through Christ is one that I've brought into my own experience. And the fact that I get to come before you with a smile on my face. No, I'm not perfect. No, I make plenty of mistakes, probably 10 times as many as most of the people that are listening, I assure you. But the thing I can say is that which is coming out of my mouth right now is not folly. It's not a game. It's not some spiritual concept or some dogmatic ideology. This is real. What is the quality of your life? How do you feel from day to day? Is it where you want it to be? And if not, this is the path. Not what the world is saying. Hear what the Lord is saying. And so we know that we need to remove the middlemen. We need to remove the middlemen from our approach to accessing peace, accessing happiness and well-being and focus and all these beautiful things. But you know, we still have our conditioning. We're still trained to operate in a certain way. And there's three primary middlemen that we like to use to try to gain our happiness, even though it's fool's gold. Those middlemen are, one, events. We say that if this thing happens, then I'll be happy. Number two is actions. If I do this, then I will get this thing, whether it be an emotion or acceptance from others or what have you. If I do this, I will get this thing and then I will be happy. And then third is people. We say that if I can maintain this attachment to this person or to this group, and if they will continue to act in a way that serves me positively, then I will be happy. Those are our three middlemen. But what I want to point you to is, because God has foresight and hindsight, God has all sight, he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he knew that we would utilize these three middlemen. And so he preemptively presented this little scripture with very powerful implications. And I'd like to read it to you guys. That's 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 14. And excuse me while I find it. No. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Now, this is what I want you to hear. So that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. That's why our world thinks as a joke when they hear words like peace and satisfaction and fulfillment are found within, that everything you need is already within you, that you could be a man or a woman walking the streets with no money and yet you are already a king or a queen that has a metaphorical mansion in your quality of experience and the quality of your wholeness, that you are a walking royalty even if you're wearing dirty clothes. That's why they can't conceive that, because it says very clearly in the scriptures that the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They don't accept the gift. It's not saying they simply think it's stupid. It's saying, no, they can't accept the gift that God has provided all of us freely because they count it as foolishness. And what I would like to say is, if truth is truth, and truth is relevant, and it's valuable, and it has utility, and it's transformative, I count it foolish to deem that foolish. I count it foolish to associate truth with foolishness. And what we're talking, this is the reality of spirituality. This is the reality of what God has provided through his gifting, through his love for us. And so let us not be like the foolish that call that foolish. Let us humble ourselves and simply try. I'm not here to present anything to you to tell you, you need to accept this. You need to believe in some dogmatic ideology. No, I come as no expert. I come as no preacher. I come as no nothing. I simply come to say, a man who was on death's door, who was driving on the highway and thought about driving off and said, why should I be doing this life thing anymore? That kid 6 years ago, who was so close to driving off at 80 miles an hour, and in that moment, he could only look in his mind and see the picture of his mother's face and say, either I'm going to give up now or I'm going to figure this thing out. And in that moment, he chose to figure this thing out. And it's not that he figured it out, but what really happened was that God responded to his hunger to live. So I don't need you to believe anything I'm saying. I simply am inviting you to try it for yourself, to try another way. Because how long have we been caught up in this materialistic world? How long have we looked for people to meet our needs? How long have we looked for things to happen the way we want them to happen? And I don't know about y'all, but I'm 27 years old. A lot of people are like, okay, that's mad young. Well, yeah, well, guess what? 27 years of trying the same doggone thing and it not working, I'm kind of tired of it, you know? So I simply invite you to try a different path, to try a different perspective. Because the worldly perspective is steeped in materialism. It only identifies things and people and accomplishments. That's the currency of the spirit of the world, or the worldly perspective. But the Spirit of God, or the godly perspective, is one of transcendence. The godly perspective says, I am not threatened by the shaking of these things. I am not threatened by the movement of the waves while I sleep in the boat, because I have a very clear understanding that I transcend beyond all that which shakes. Because within me is a stability. Within me is a space that is not identified or limited by time or names or enemies. It is just spaciousness. It is just fullness. It is just joy. It is just God. And when I access that, I'm above all of the nonsense. I'm above all of the craziness. I'm above the quarantine, the way it's affecting me emotionally. Even if I'm experiencing real troubles, which so many of us are, even if I'm experiencing real challenges, and this is not to take away from any of that, this is not to discredit or dismantle the reality of your subjective experience. I have immense empathy for you, as does God. But what I am saying is, there is a space. There is a space within you. There is a place within you that is quiet, regardless of if there's a thunderstorm or fireworks are going off. There is a place that can be accessed. There is a place that is real. That place is real. That in those moments where you've questioned it, where you've wondered, is this all there is? I'm here to tell you one thing, that place is real. And you and it are not separate from one another. And so I want to take you to one more scripture. Luke 17, 20 through 21. Now when he asked by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So understand that even when we look at the kingdoms of this world, when we look at this country, when we look at the things that are going on in these modern times, that which is occurring, they look like these powerful kingdoms. And we see all of this calamity, all of this chaos that's going on. When we look at these elections, when we look at the potential people that could be taking office or repeating their position in office, that scares a lot of people. It angers a lot of people. It creates a situation where we're saying, I don't know what's going to happen. And yes, when we look at the power, the physical forms, the buildings, the White House, all these things, yes, we see things that are conducive to a concept of a kingdom or you know, mansions or what have you. But God is saying that the kingdom of God, you can't say, oh, there it is. It doesn't come with means of observation. The kingdom of God cannot be assessed or experienced through the senses. The kingdom of God is only to be experienced within you. And because of that, it is not threatened. The kingdom of God is a metaphor for the peace, the state of fulfillment and openness and joy and bliss that is not able to be attacked or threatened by any of these external things. And so to make that statement very simple, I'm simply saying, regardless of whether or not your desired candidate ends up in office, regardless of whether or not this passes or this bill passes or whatever goes on, you know, any of these types of things, hate speech going around, these things are important and they matter. But simply, again, what I'm saying is understand that the deepest space within you, that which you truly are, is not threatened by the calamities of this world. That you can be in a state of inner stability and in a state of focus and clarity and self-awareness regardless of the calamity. And interestingly, if you allow yourself to go there, if you allow yourself to saturate in God's goodness, in the milk and honey of God's goodness, you will find that your awareness will change the way you see the calamity. You will change the way you see how the calamity will affect you. And your world will change because your perspective has changed. So in closing, I want to state that it's important to continue to strive. It's important to dream. It's important to pursue your goals. These are very valuable things. I don't come to shun the materialistic world or to say that it is fodder and that you should go live in the mountains. You see me, don't you? I didn't get this Baby Gap shirt from living in the mountains. I got it from the mall over by the street on Flamingo Road, which says we don't have to give up all of these materialistic things. They have value just like everything else does, because everything is God. But simply know and remember that regardless of your striving, regardless of your dreams, regardless of your hopes and your pursuits, know that there is only one true pathway to long-lasting and real contentment and joy and bliss. And that is the path deeper into yourself. That when you go within you, you can come in touch with that which God has freely given us. So don't mistake the fact that you don't need a middleman to access your birthright. Thank you very much, Heartway. I love you, and have a wonderful Sunday.